And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms or restrictions apply.
You know, I never specifically ask for purple Gatorade, but if it's in the cooler, I'm grabbing it. Orange is my go-to. If it ain't cold, it's a problem, but as long as it's cold, it hits just right when you're thirsty. Am I crazy, or does Gatorade taste better when you drink it out of this crazy sports cap thingy they got? You know, lemon lime is the OG flavor. It's the first flavor Gatorade ever made. I never tried the white one before. I'm sad I waited this long. In the future, if I ask for a blue Gatorade, I mean this one. I like the darker blue one. I didn't say the dark blue was a bad flavor. I just want it known that Glacier Freeze is the superior blue. You know, there's actually three blues. There's one kind in the middle, those two called Cool Blue. That's my favorite blue. Also, real quick, to the people in charge of mixing the Gatorade powder in the big orange coolers at sporting events, it is imperative that you use more powder than you think is needed, and that you stir longer than you think is needed. It's hot out there. I'm trying to be refreshed. I'm not trying to drink this slightly tangy water with big chunks of powder in it. Help me out over here. Thank you in advance.
Good morning, sweet world, and welcome to the No Dunks podcast on the Athletic Network. It's Thursday, January 19th, 2023. I'm J.E. Skeets here in the Classic Factory, and alongside me, as always, that's Tass Mellis.
Podcast listeners, this is for you.
Next to Tassie, it's the bearded one, my top shot hot boy, Trey Kirby.
Ayo.
Ayo. And last but not least, making the magic happen, over yonder, two super producers, JD and Eshwa Kid. What's up, guys?
How y'all doing?
Hey, yay, yay! Good to have you back, Eshwa. All right, shout out to the stream team joining us live right now on YouTube. Like the vid and subscribe. Comment away there with the stream team. Get your No Dunks merch over at nodunks.com. And hey, if you haven't already, check out yesterday afternoon's NBA Reddit podcast. Some great Reddit threads that we dissected and debated. We talked about whether the Wolves and Hawks could make like a Kings-Pacers-like trade, where they maybe could benefit both teams. We got into which current superstars might be forgotten 20 years from now. And at the end of that podcast, a lively debate about whether we could beat any of the top 75 guys one-on-one. And that continued into last night's watch party on Playback, where Trey boldly said he thinks he could take Magic Johnson in a game of one-on-one.
If I got a hot shooting night, if the jumper's on, it's competitive.
Wow, wow.
And I don't know if Magic wants to step out, because I'll blow right by him.
Hey, man, Magic, if you're listening or watching, tweet at us. Let's hear what you got to say.
You like to pull up your shirt and say brownies.
Oh, yeah, I do.
But you could do some trash talk and call them cookies.
Oh, there it is. I like that. That's the type of stuff you're going to get live in Salt Lake City, people. Come join us Friday, February 17th, 8 p.m. local time at the Urban Lounge over All-Star Weekend, which is not that long from now, guys. Less than a month, we're going to be doing a live show in Salt Lake City. Go get your tickets. The link is available there in the comment section of this video, in the YouTube section, and in the podcast description. Hope to see you out there if you can make it. Okay, we got lots to get to. We're going to get to some hypothetical trades from Bobby Marks, and we're going to grade those trades that he's come up with and basically get into a who says no type of situation. But before that, let's recap last night's games with a little what you got.
What you got?
So let's start at the top of the West. Two teams picking up more wins here in 2023. The Grizzlies can't lose. They're still perfect in the calendar year. Steven Adams with the tip-in winner and then some Dylan Brooks defense got the Grizzlies their 11th win in a row against the Cavs. And then a little bit later, we had Murray, we had Jokic helping the Nuggets get past the Timberwolves, 122-118. A fun game down the stretch in that one. So the question here, the what you got, Tass, who is the best in the West? Is it the Grizzlies or the Nuggies? What you got?
A great debate. I would take Denver.
Okay.
And they both have holes. The Nuggets, I think, going under the radar here, that they've got the 18th best defense in the league.
Right.
When you go into the playoffs, historically, you got to have a top 10. on both sides of the ball if you're going to win the championship. I think they can pick it up on that end, but they've got holes. Michael Porter Jr., you can go at him. You can stretch out Jokic. He's got to guard a lot of area out there. But the Grizzlies on the other side. Can they score enough when teams get back on defense? They're in the top 10 on offense, but it'll be interesting to see them against a top 10 defense. You saw what Desmond Bane did. I think he's sort of key last night. Monstrous game against the Cavs. Monstrous front line. But these two games, Cavs-Grizz, Wolves-Nuggets, were both awesome. They were both fantastic. In both games, the teams that we're talking about here, the Grizzlies and Nuggets, should have lost. They should have gone home with big, big L's. I thought the Wolves played an incredible game without Gobert and Towns and just couldn't get it done in the end. 0-for-6 in the last 250, two turnovers, outscored 9-0, and they lost a four-point game. That was the ball game right there. But you saw their young guys, Jaden McDaniels. You saw Naz Reid out there with a gorgeous spin move in the fourth quarter. This guy's proving that he should be a starting center for a team next year. He's making under $2 million. They've got Gobert there. They've got Towns there. Somebody's got to pay that guy. They were so, so deep. And I think that performance against the Nuggets team where they should have won, it shows they're not going to blow it up. As much as we love talking about it, we've got a Wolves proposed trade, which is a little bit more of a tinkering trade later on. They're not going to blow it up. They're playing too well. But I think the Nuggets can play a little bit better defensively. And this Grizzlies team against the Cavs team that gave it away at the end with a 5-second inbound call, 5-second violation. You don't see that with 25 seconds left on the clock. They had the ball up one, could have won this game, and should have won this game. You don't see that very often. But the Cavs, huge front line. That's a tough matchup for Ja Morant. That's he doesn't want to stand out there and fire away threes. So when those two dudes and Mobley and Jared Allen are in there, it's tough sledding for them, but Bane was carving them up. He was doing a good job, and it was a great matchup of, I think, you know, two teams we'll be watching here for a long time. We celebrated our 17th anniversary of No Dunks yesterday. If we celebrate a 25th anniversary, we'd probably still be watching the Cavs and Grizz go at it. Yeah,
hope so.
I gave it a round number of 25. 8 years from now, whatever. I think we could see Mobley's on one side. We could see Morant's on the other side because these two teams are be going at it for a long time. It was a blast watching that game, watching the Grizz in their City Edition jerseys that give tribute to the rap music of Memphis. And we learned yesterday while we were watching playback that referee Leon Wood, his favorite musician is hip-hop.
His favorite
musician
can't pick
is hip-hop. So
it's a genre,
it's all good.
They don't have a City Edition floor, which is weird, but anyway that was a great night. And no Mitchell for the Cavs, so seeing Garland do his thing in the fourth quarter, the future was bright. But I think both teams should have lost. Both teams have holes, and the Western Conference is slightly open because they both have holes.
What do you got? Best in the West. Is it the Nuggets? You agree with Tass ultimately there, or can you make the case for the Grizzlies?
You can make a case for the Grizzlies, but it's the Nuggets. They got a two-time MVP. They've been to a conference finals, and their defense is actually good. Last 15 games, they're sixth in the league defensively for the entire season. They've got the best clutch defense in the league, so it's not a surprise that they would shut down a Timberwolves team that was a little shorthanded down the stretch. Does that hold up in the playoffs? Maybe not, but Jokic is a proven playoff performer. I do think his rep is a little bit down right now because of the way that the Nuggets have gone out of the last two playoffs. They got swept by the Suns. They got beat by the Warriors 4-1, shorthanded both times, yeah. But that comes down on Jokic. So he's got to hope to have a healthy team around him and hope that their defense can actually hold up in the postseason. I'm a little more worried, actually, about the Grizzlies in the postseason, because I think it'll be tough to play Steven Adams for a long time. There will be teams that can play him off the floor. And in that case, I don't necessarily know that the Grizzlies have a small ball option, because they'll go Ja, they'll go Bane, they'll go Dylan Brooks, they'll go Jaren Jackson Jr. The question is, who's that last guy? John Conchar, Zaire Williams would be probably their in-house solutions to that problem, but an OG Anunoby, a McDaniels, a Crowder could all fill that role for them. And I think they need it, because when it comes to the playoffs, there are less foul calls, and that's a big reason the Grizzlies are an efficient offense, is because Ja Morant just throws his body into the lane and gets a lot of foul calls. That happens less often in the playoffs, but the thing that's interesting about the Grizzlies, they're 31-0 this season when they get a 10-point lead in games. They have 31 wins this season, so they can win some of these blowout games. They had a huge lead last night. They blew it, but then they got a very Grizzlies win, I thought, getting a defensive play from Jaren Jackson Jr., DPOY candidate, getting an offensive rebound tip-in from Steven Adams, best offensive rebounder in the game,
yep.
and then getting a block from Dylan Brooks, another guy they're pitching as defensive player of the year, and honestly, incredible defense on Brooks from Garland. He took away his sidestep three twice yeah. on the same play. Yeah. Garland went for it for the first time. Brooks was right there, had to pass it off, got it back, tried it again. Block job. Good stuff for the Grizzlies to get the win. Good stuff for Denver to get the win. Their last 15 games, Nuggets are 13-2. Grizzlies are 12-3. Jeez. It's crazy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. In 2023, I tweeted it this morning, Grizzlies haven't lost. They're perfect, 9-0 here in the new calendar year, and the Nuggets have only lost once. They're 9-1. The Thunder are incredibly 7-2, along with a couple other teams in 2023. But they've only played once, these two teams. I just checked it. Grizzlies and Nuggets, you know, being at the top of the West. It was right before Christmas. Nuggets took care of business. They won 105-91 in that game. And I'm like, all right, when do these two teams play next? Let's go. Let's get a game before the All-Star break. Not happening. They play right after the All-Star break, so on February 25th, and then soon after that on March 3rd. Unfortunately, they only play three times this season. But, you know, those are important games if these two teams are tied at the end of the year. Obviously, the Grizzlies, having lost the first one, would need to win the next two for that tiebreaker, but those should be good. Hopefully, they're at full strength because these teams are – they're rolling.
Right? Yeah, they're rolling, and it makes sense that the last 15 games that both have gotten it going because they both started the season with injuries to key players.
Yeah,
and Jaren Jackson Jr., Desmond Bane for the Grizzlies, Jamal Murray coming along for the Nuggets, and Michael Porter was out. So it makes sense that they have been a better defense the last 15 games. And that's probably a truer example of what they will be in the playoffs. They should be a great playoff team. I think the Nuggets are clearly the favorite. The Grizzlies have to figure out a half-court offense against strong defenses. They get points in the fast break. They get points in transition. They get points off fouls, as Trey mentioned. Good problems to have, though. Those are the top two favorites, easily, in the Western Conference.
And some credit to Ja Morant. I was trying to find it in my notes here from all of our shows, but I remember I said it, because I read it, that he said, when they were struggling a little bit earlier in the year, he's like, it's all right, we're going to rip off a win streak. He, like, called a shot here. And basically, they did this at the exact same time last year, where they went on this 11-game win streak. Last year, they're doing it again now. So he saw it coming. He's like, once we get our guys back, I mean, we're going to be a problem. And they have all the confidence in the world, this team. And he's right. 11 straight here and haven't lost so far in 2023. Okay, let's keep going. I'm going to put a couple games together, hit you with a question and what you got. We had the Trae Young and the Hawks beating Luka Doncic and the Mavs, with Dad sitting courtside there for Luka. 130-122. That's the Hawks' fourth straight win. We had the Kings beating the Lakers, 116-111. That's Sacramento's fifth straight win. I believe they're up into the third spot right now in the Western Conference standing, Sacramento is. And then we had the Thunder. They're so hot. They beat the Pacers 126-106 for their fourth straight victory. And like I said, 7-2 now here in the calendar year. So what's the more impressive, or the most, I guess I should have said, most impressive win streak? Hawks, Kings, or Thunder? What you got, Trey Kirby?
Gotta give love to the Hawks, to be quite honest. Okay. The way they've steadied the ship a little bit right here, I think, is really nice. They beat the best team last night, if you're looking at the opponents here, and they caused a whole lot of turmoil for the Dallas Mavericks, which I think gives them a little bit of a bump for me. I like that every Hawk that played double-digit minutes last night scored double-digit points. I love seeing Trae Young feeding DeJounte Murray in the fourth quarter. Yeah. He realized that Murray had it going, 11 points, 4 of 6 shooting, and just kept going to him rather than trying to monopolize the offense and be the only scorer out there. Also got to the line, knocked down some free throws in the fourth quarter. Did Trae Young. They look a little bit more like a team rather than a collection of players trying to figure each other out right now. They're on the same page for right now. They are playing decent basketball. They're back over 500. I think the Hawks pulling off that win last night and looking like an incredible offensive team, sending the Mavs into a bit of a tailspin, getting them called out by Jason Kidd. I think that's all great stuff for the Hawks, especially considering it's always like a measuring stick game when it's Trae versus Luka. So to show up in a win like that, I thought was huge. And for Trae to play a good game and kind of just be a point guard out there rather than the heliocentric guy that we're used to.
Yeah, in a game that's on national TV against Luka, the guy he was traded for, to be third in shots on his team. It's a great sign. Mm-hmm. They're looking like a different team. They have responded to all of these reports about the front office, and they're doing this sort of media tour. Their front office I'm speaking about specifically, Landry Fields, along with new assistant GM Kyle Korver, going out there, kind of trying to just stem the tide, just quiet everybody. It's weird to see a front office do a media tour, but on the court, they have responded big time, four straight. It's a new team. I mean, it really looks like
you,
it.
You said last night on playback that the Hawks got you. You're all back in on them. Like, you believe in them, like, maintaining at least some success here for
Let's
the second
roll.
Half of the season.
Let's roll. I think they can. What is their upcoming sked? Because I think when we were talking, Trey mentioned that they do have a bit of a lighter sked here.
Mm-hmm.
They got an easy home schedule coming up, but they do go on a road trip from January into February, which will be a big test for the Hawks, five-game road trip.
I'm into there's got to be a team in the East that jumps up the standings a little bit. So they did this 2 years ago. They started poorly. Lloyd Pierce was fired. Nate McMillan came on board. Things got right. They look like an entirely different team. They look so good. It helps that DeAndre Hunter has the obligation of guarding Luka Doncic in this one as his primary guy. Like that was a nice matchup for them. Sometimes if DeAndre Hunter is out, they kind of get screwed in that department. There's usually a big guard on the other side. But, yeah, it's interesting on the other side. While we were watching on playback, you saw Sasha Doncic there, and you kind of, you know, conflated or combined that report that was going on out there that Luka wants help.
Right.
He declined it. Now, Sasha Doncic is sitting courtside with Mark Cuban. Is that a coincidence? Yeah, I think it's a coincidence. But you kind of.
Well, I mean, probably is, yeah. But it's odd timing, is it not, here, where the Mavericks are struggling, reports that Luka needs help, wants help, Cuban saying not true at all, and suddenly dad's sitting courtside.
Yeah, but he has to fly for
us. Mr. Incredible.
He flies from a long way away. It's not like he's coming from his house 20 minutes away. He's coming from...
He didn't ride the horse over?
Do they have a horse in the fam?
I don't know.
I don't know. Did the Doncic's have horse?
I have no idea. I just assume everybody in Eastern Europe has horses.
Oh,
I
okay. Do they?
No, they don't. But no, I don't think he's there for that reason. But Luke is right, by the way. He does need help. Whether these reports are true or not, I don't care if it's Luca asking for the help, if it's his dad, if it's his
horse.
Cousin horse. Yeah, he does.
Could be a cousin.
This team is not good here. I mean, hell, they basically have the same record as the Hawks, who we've shit on all season long. The Mavericks do, right?
Does he have a cousin named Horst? That's a name.
Oh,
it's possible. In Germany, there's lots of Horsts, not the animal.
Any love for the Kings and Thunder here, too, on their win streaks?
I mean, the Kings won without Domantas Sabonis.
Hell yeah, they did. Fox was money again.
He had an illness, they say. They're up to third place, like you said. And you just got to imagine that De'Aaron Fox heard the show. He said, I don't want to be the most glaring snub out there.
Yeah.
I've got the second most clutch points of any player in the NBA. It would be a travesty to leave me off this team. So he went out and hung 32 on the Lakers. That's what they played? Yeah, that's what they played. 32 on the Lakers. I didn't write it down. The biggest highlight I saw from this is Russell Westbrook pulling up for a jump shot, losing the ball, whipping it off Kevin Herter's chest and catching it. That was wild stuff. But Fox is awesome. That's a nice thing to be able to do when you're missing a huge driver of your offense in Domantas Sabonis to still have a point guard out there who can go and get you buckets. Good stuff.
Yeah. You don't see that too often. Guy go up for a three-point shot. It's going to come down for a travel, so he just fires it off a guy's chest successfully. He got the ball right back. That was pretty neat. But it was a heartbreaker for the Lakers.
Yeah.
That was an 8-3 run for the Kings to close the game in a five-point win. LeBron was 1-for-7 in the fourth. Here come the reports that he's tired because they didn't have their second best player. Obviously, Anthony Davis not coming back for a bit. They didn't have their third best player. Austin Reeves' hammy is bothering him. They don't have Lonnie Walker. I'm not sure what the ranking is on him, but it's difficult when you have such a top-heavy team and you're missing so many guys. So the past three losses, a double OT loss versus the Mavs, a one-point loss to the Sixers, and this loss to the Kings in a five-point game. So they're heartbreakers. And in the standings there, when you got teams like OKC that we'll talk about, there's a lot of teams to overcome for these Lakers.
I love that the Sacramento Kings, at least to me, are like a pitcher that's got a no-hitter going through like 6 or 7 innings. And it's like, I don't want to jinx anything. I don't want to talk about them. I just want to like sort of ignore them on purpose in order to keep the vibes going and keep that the wins that they're putting together here keep streaking along. So, you know, I just like I feel like as soon as we start going all the attention on the Kings, they're going to fall apart. But man, That win without Sabonis against the Lakers is huge. And they're chanting light the beam there in LA, obviously some Sacramento fans. Like, they are leading their division here by a couple games over the Warriors.
Big division guy.
Yeah, so it's impressive stuff there from the Kings, and looking more and more likely like they're gonna hopefully snap that playoff drought. But yeah, them, and hey, the Thunder crushing the Pacers, 126 points they hung on them. Their offense on fire right now, and they want to get into that play-in tournament, or maybe even get up even higher because it's so congested there in the standings. So good stuff there from both those teams.
Will OKC be buyers? Sounds stupid. Mm. But 21 days from now, they got so many picks. Go for it, baby.
Go for what?
Go get a star.
I mean, they're going to make the play-in tournament without having to do anything, I think. They're just good right now. Yeah. 7-3 in their last 10. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander's numbers are kind of ticking down a little bit, but it's because Josh Giddey's playing incredibly well. In the last 10 games, they're both, I think Shai's at 27 a game, Giddey's at 20 a game with like another 8 assists or something like that. They had 41 assists on 47 makes last night. They passed the ball like crazy, and none of the teams chasing him are consistent at all. Like,
yeah.
You don't really believe that Minnesota or Portland's going to get it together in the second half and bypass the Thunder. The Thunder know what they're doing. The only chance they miss the play-in, I'm convinced at this point, is if they shut their guys
down.
If
they want to, yeah. Which I don't think they – I feel like they won't do that this year. My
Doesn't
gut
feel
says
like
that.
It.
Like, you're like, come on. You know, these are good – also, get into the playoffs and get a playoff experience for all of these young guys. Even
it was
if
good
you,
for the Grizzlies.
Yeah, right, right. All right. Final one here. We had Bam scoring 26. He beat the Pelicans 124-98. Blowout. Lauri Markkanen, he returned to help the Jazz destroy the Clippers. And then Jason Kidd, you know, he's ripping the Mavericks defense after that third straight loss, as we talked about with the Hawks taking care of business there in Dallas. So I want you to tell me, who's down worst? The Pels, the Clips, or the Mavs? What you got, Tasmalis?
It's the Clips. I'm done.
You're done?
Yeah. We're at a point here of the season where these guys have to play, and they just decided not to. There's no real
and
injury.
Kawhi and Paul George, yeah.
Yeah, both of them against the Jazz. And Lauri Markkanen literally ripped them apart. Lauri Markkanen is going to have a great dunk compilation at the end of the season. And he was doing it in each and every way. Just watch his highlights from this game. Pick and roll to start, got the touch, you know, from the, you know, the 5 to 8 foot range. He got blocked one time, went right back up. He's got the hooks. He's got the 3-point shot, obviously. He is 7 feet. I think it's easy to forget with the way he shoots the ball. And he's got the 3-point shot where he doesn't bring it down either. So it's just difficult to guard that dude. And the Clips don't have a lot of fight. So you have to get it together at some point. And there's the West is getting it together around the Clippers. There, other teams are rising and they are falling. So I think they are the worst off of those three teams.
Who are you going with?
I mean, it's tough to say. The thing that bugs me about the Clippers is that they lost to the 76ers. Paul George says urgency starts now. We've got guys in and out of the lineup, and then he didn't play against the Jazz. Clowns. This team is a bunch of bozos. But I think that the Mavericks are down the worst right now just because they're the team getting called out by their coach. Jason Kidd said, until we put a better effort into playing defense and understanding what we have to do, we're going to score 120, but we're going to give up 130, 140. One night we might give up 150, but we'll be fine because we scored, so it doesn't look bad. Huh. They can't play defense with Christian Wood in the starting lineup. They did get Dorian Finney-Smith and Josh Green back, who are defenders who will help. Maxi Kleba says he's coming back before the All-Star break after having surgery on a torn hamstring. Surprising to hear, but he will help their defense. But you got to worry about maybe the Mavericks have been found out a little bit here. It happened to Jason Kidd with Milwaukee. He came. They were a bad defense. Joined the Bucks. Defense went up to number 4. The next year, down to number 23. Joined the Mavs. Turned the defense around. Number 6 last year. Down to 25 right now. So I think the helter-skelter style he often plays, trying to force turnovers, it works until the scouting report is out. And the scouting report is out. And last night, it was just the Hawks double-teaming Luka Doncic and saying, somebody else beat us.
Yeah.
Nobody else in the fourth quarter could do it. And the Mavs couldn't get stops. If you're not scoring and you're not stopping the other team from scoring, tough stuff.
Yeah, the injury is obviously a part of that. Dorian Finney-Smith looked bad in his first game back. And Josh Green, those guys need to be back. They need to be healthy. That's what made them a good defense last year, along with Kleba. That's big. So I think they're, yeah, they are down bad. There is no doubt. But they just have to get some reps in, while the Clippers don't want to get reps in. And who's the third team we talk? Oh, the Pelicans, another weird scenario where...
They're 3-7 in their last 10, but obviously no Zion, still no Brandon Ingram.
Yeah, that's the odd thing. At least have him back. But the toe has been keeping him out nearly 2 months when there's been reports for like a month that he's been coming back.
Yeah.
So very strange scenario. They just need some top-end talent. They've hit a bad rut in terms of their schedule without two of their top three players. So that's a problem, but I think can be overcome if their guys are healthy. I guess that's the question mark.
Yeah, it's I do like to see Jalen Rose finally jumping on the F this Clippers team bandwagon. I know there was a clip going around yesterday where he's calling out, like, the urgency should have started when Kawhi and Paul George came to LA, and we're still waiting on them to meet any sort of expectations, but good luck with waiting. I've said it last night on our playback. I've said it before. TK just said it 5 minutes ago that it's I have no faith in this team whatsoever. Of these three teams, I mean, actually remove the Pelicans because they have stars coming back, but, like, there is so much pressure on the Clippers, of course. And the Mavericks are getting to that level when you have a player at Luka's caliber to do something here, too. Will they get a little desperate, these teams, to try and shake something up at the trade deadline to salvage their season, because their top-end talent is so great that they could go very far in a playoff series. They should, with Kawhi, PG, or Luka in Dallas's case. I wonder if they will.
You'd think the Clippers would have some urgency and they'd care to try and win now, but I don't think they care. Paul George and Kawhi Leonard are signed for a billion years beyond this year. They're signed for a long time. So I don't see any urgency. Maybe you're saying from the front office, but I don't see any urgency. Yeah, from the Mavs, I could see something happening.
Yeah.
But from the Clips, we'll be good. Yeah, we'll just get our guys back.
Just kick the can
we'll
down the road a little bit more.
Yeah.
You just wait until we're healthy next year. We're going to be a problem. We're going to be preseason favorites to win the title. The other games last night, just quickly... LaMelo Ball got injured, again, that ankle. But the Hornets won because they're playing the Rockets. They won 122-117. I'm just waiting to see. Probably right after we stop recording this podcast, maybe Steven Silas is no longer the Houston Rockets head coach. It's very, very bad there in Houston. And we also had Bradley Beal returning from injury as the Wizards got a victory over the Knicks. Any thoughts on either of those games or those teams involved?
LaMelo's got a lot of bad luck. This season, he stepped on a foot in the preseason to sprain his ankle, which, you know, is like, that just sucks, but that's one that happens a lot. His second ankle sprain, stepped on a fan's foot, out for a long time, and last night, he got his foot stepped on.
Yeah.
Those ones suck. The last two are bad. It's like occupational hazard, stepping on somebody else's foot, but a fan, and then having somebody step on your foot, that sucks. But yeah, 12 straight losses for the Rockets. They've actually lost 17 of their last 18. They shouldn't be the worst offense in the league.
No.
It's kind of what it comes down to for me when your three best players are all offense-first players. But Steven Silas, I think his contract goes through the 2024 season, so it will be a question of does Tillman Fertitta want to pay a coach to not coach their team? But there's a lot of tension underneath the surface. It certainly feels like with the Rockets, and this is not a team that has shown any cohesion at all this year.
I don't like this Wizards team either. I mean, this, we're talking about the Wizards coming back with Bradley Beal and beating this Knicks team. We'll get into the next segment about what they should be doing, and they seemingly want to be going for it, which is odd. It's an odd scenario. We've been talking about the Clippers as a team that perennially thinks that they can go for it. The Wizards are in the same boat with a sub-500 team. So, they get a victory. Bradley Beal comes back. The Knicks have an off night. But it's difficult to rally around this Wizards roster.
Beal looked okay in his return. Oh, sure. I'll give him that. He scored 18 points, 7-11 shooting. They didn't win a lot of games without him. They went 1-4. So he gets them the victory last night. Kuzma played well again. Yeah, the big things in that were Randle had a garbage night. He was, even if you look at his box score, you're going to be like, it's not that bad, Skeets. It's like, it was bad. A lot of that came like in sort of like garbage time, honestly. And then Mitchell Robinson, man, I keep saying this, but hold your breath, because he played 9 minutes, left the game, sprained right thumb, and the Knicks are a different team when that guy does not play and like is the backbone of that defense a little bit. So we'll see. Hopefully it's nothing serious. But let's take our first break. When we come back, we will talk about the Wizards, some trade rumors swirling that team, and Bobby Marks with trades he'd like to see. We're going to grade him. Don't go anywhere.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Danielle has taken up painting. Oil painting, acrylic painting, other painting. I don't know what it is, but it's just incredible. If I can convince her to open up a Shopify store, I know she'll be hearing the... Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, yeah, just do it, to the first real life store stage, see, you made a sale, all the way to the did we just hit a million order stage? How about that? Shopify is there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap, offering outdoor outfits, or paintings, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From the all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., and Shopify is the global force behind millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Here's some information. Just like entrepreneur David Scott Martin of Antique Candle did for No Dunks on Shopify. How about that? And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/nodunks, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/nodunks now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/nodunks.
All right, according to our guys at The Athletic, the Wizards have had trade discussions with multiple teams centered around Rui Hachimura, the fourth-year forward, who is set to become a restricted free agent in July, has drawn interest from several Western Conference teams. That's an interesting little part. The East, not interested. West,
no,
definitely interested in Rui Hachimura. But yeah, what did you make of this report here from Shams and Robbins?
Feels like a wizardry thing to do, to buy into their big boys, to buy into Beal, Porzingis, and potentially Kuzma. I think that's the biggest thing here, because at some point, if you're the Wiz, you got to start selling off your draft picks that you've traded, because you're going to pay these guys, your top end talent. So they're 19 and 26, and it feels like they want to re-sign Beal, Porzingis at some point, and Kuzma. If those three guys get paid next year, that's well over $100 million for those three for a 19 and 26 team. I understand Rui has not lived up to his potential. Denny Avdia not lived up to his potential to this point. Still, you're way below 500 even with your heavy hitters. So it's an odd direction, I think, for the franchise. But that's what's been happening for years.
Right. So you're saying if the Wizards trade Rui here, it's probably signaling to you and other teams like, they want to sign Kuzma,
yeah,
who is very, very, very likely going to decline his $13 million player option for next season, test the market, and pay $110 million.
Exactly.
Beal, Porzingis, and Kuz.
About $110. It's a fun headline. This team has three 20-point scores. It doesn't matter. They're sub 500.
Wow, they do.
Yeah.
They do have three 20-point scorers.
Yeah, it's cool. It looks great. They're
looks
awesome.
Great.
That they ain't awesome.
Right, right. How do you feel about Rui Hachimura and his career so far? And is this just, like Tess said, a Wizards-like thing to do, or they would move off a top 10 pick in his fourth year?
Yeah, I mean, he was a top 10 pick, but that's just because of the draft he was in. I mean, he's going to be 25 at the trade deadline. That's surprising to me that he's that much older than Denny Avdia, so I'm not surprised that Avdia would be the guy that they would choose between those two. You just have to hope it's posturing season for the Wizards, saying that they're going to re-sign Kyle Kuzma going forward, because you're right, you don't want to pay $100 million to have that as your big three. But Kuzma's a guy who's going to be in demand at the trade deadline. So maybe they're trying to say, hey, we're going to re-sign this guy, so you better make that offer really, really good, because that's not great going forward with that team. But the Wizards, as we know, are a team, they don't tank. They're not down a whole bunch of picks either. They've got a first rounder going to New York,
yep.
I think, but that's pretty much it. All their second rounders are gone, basically, but at least they got their firsts. So I don't know. If a team is interested in Rui Hachimura, they'll give you a couple second round draft picks. I think that's fine. He's coming off the bench for them. He's had an okay season, but hasn't taken a huge step forward or anything.
Yeah. There's nothing wrong with trading Rui Hachimura. He has been underwhelming. Yeah, the problem is the other guys that they're buying into, I think.
Right.
If it's posturing season, good move. Good posture. but at this point, it sure looks like, because of their history, that they're going to pay Kuzma. But who knows? Who knows?
All right. The 2023 NBA trade deadline. It's less than a month away. And there hasn't been much trade activity. In fact, there's been one single trade since the season tipped off. Do you remember what the trade was?
Noah Vonleh.
That's right.
We were doing a stream.
Celtics sent Noah Vonleh to the Spurs to lower their luxury tax bill, and then Noah Vonleh was immediately waived there by San Antonio. That's the only trade we've had. Thankfully, ESPN's Bobby Marks, he's a madman, and he recently identified one trade he would like to see from each team between now and the deadline. I picked a few of our favorites, and we're going to grade them. So let's grade that trade. Yeah. Class is in session.
Very nice.
Nice penmanship there on that board.
Nice Erlenmeyer flask.
All right. So, yeah, I just picked a couple of my favorite trades that ESPN's Bobby Marks threw out in his recent articles that he would like to see possibly happen. And we're going to grade them. So, first one, let's start with Miami Heat and the Minnesota Timberwolves. We are swapping some point guards here. The Heat, in this hypothetical trade, would receive D'Angelo Russell and a future second-round pick, while the Timberwolves would receive the Groat, Kyle Lowry, and Deadman Walking, Dwayne Dedman. So, you know, really here, a Russell for Lowry situation. Who says no, or grade that trade? However you want to go about this. What do you got? What are your opinions?
I grade this trade. Send it.
I don't mind it.
Yeah. I don't really think that this changes anything for either team, but it might. That's the exciting thing. I think Miami, if you're looking at teams in the NBA, might have the best chance of rehabbing a guy like D'Angelo Russell, whose value is pretty low right now. But trade deadline time last season, people were talking Russell up as an important part of the Timberwolves and the way he was quarterbacking their defense. He can get hot from outside. Mm-hmm. He can play make. Those are things that the Heat certainly need. And players often succeed in a better culture like Miami's. They also get off Kyle Lowry 1 year early on his deal, which then gives the Heat a chance to chase free agents. They're a team that actually signs free agents. There are about three of them, and Miami is one of them. So I think that's okay for the Heat. Minnesota, it's all about the vibes. They're getting a couple of red-ass guys in Kyle Lowry and Dwayne Dedman, who are going to play physical, who are going to yell at the young guys to give effort on the court. Like, Lowry is pretty washed at this point, but he's going to give them what they had in Patrick Beverley last year, which is something they need. Plays physically on the defensive end. And the Timberwolves are kind of soft on the defensive end. So I think it's all right. They're also getting something for D'Angelo Russell when it doesn't really feel like you can get a whole bunch for D'Angelo Russell right now. So
you don't mind it?
I don't mind it. It's not an exciting one, but I don't mind it.
He's saying, they get worse than this. So this is
Hey, man, two all-stars in this trade.
I know. That's why I started with the banger here.
And a 2028 second-round pick. Ooh.
All right. So he likes it.
Yeah, I think Bobby hit it out of the park with this one. I think this is the right move. Basically, with the Kyle Lowry, you want somebody on the Wolves to do a little bit less than what D'Angelo Russell was doing. So that's perfect. He will do less. He will act as a complimentary piece.
Yeah, he's a coach on the floor, basically.
Yeah, and
in a good way.
And he'll let Anthony Edwards do his thing. While with the Heat, you want somebody to do a little bit more. You want somebody to have a little bit more offensive ceiling. Now, the Heat, when they signed Kyle Lowry, wish they wouldn't have to make this deal, but Lowry has not played to his capabilities.
Right, right.
So that's the problem. They would hope that they wouldn't have to make this deal, but they got a guy with a bit of a higher ceiling in terms of just offensive output. Can make plays, can potentially get hot, and Lowry hasn't shown that through his year and a half with the Miami Heat. So I think it does make sense on both counts. The Heat are a little desperate. they want to make something happen right now while Jimmy's still got the legs, and this is an attempt. That would be an attempt. They don't need the defense. They need the offense. So it makes sense.
Okay, let's hear from everybody in the stream team. The classic who says no, or you can grade that trade if you'd like to do that as well. These guys, they like it. Bobby Marks, A+ from the guys here at No Dunks with that one at least, or at least an A. Okay, next one. Let's talk a little bit about Jay Crowder. He still is on the Suns, so let's get him off that team. Bobby has Jay Crowder going to Milwaukee for some wing help there as they try and go get another title, where Phoenix would receive Pat Connaughton and Jordan Nwora. What do you think of this one? Obviously, it's not a blockbuster like that last one, but Jay Crowder to the Bucks and some pieces coming back that hypothetically could maybe help the Suns.
This one, to me, gets an LOL because B.O.B. also pitched George Hill and Pat Connaughton for Jay Crowder in the Eastern Conference version of this trade. So he's like, just get Jay Crowder to Milwaukee. It feels like it makes sense, but I wouldn't do this particular trade because the Bucks getting older and slower, I don't think that's the greatest move. Right now, I would say your biggest concerns with the Bucks are obviously health, first and foremost, with Middleton and Giannis missing a little bit of time here. But also, there's just not a team that has a whole bunch of athleticism. Jay Crowder hasn't played in 6 months. He's not a much better shooter than Pat Connaughton is. I think the key for the Bucks getting better is finding a way to get Jay Crowder without giving up any sort of their rotation, and for Connaughton to get back to like at least a league average 3-point shooter, if not better, like he has been for the past couple of seasons. So I don't like the idea of the Bucks using their limited trade pieces here to get old and slow, because sometimes they look old and slow.
Mm-hmm. Right. I totally agree. Bad grades for Bobby on this one. Okay. Bad marks, Bobby. I don't like this one. It doesn't really make a ton of sense. Milwaukee hits enough 3-point shots, if that's the angle here. Their last five games, and without Giannis for these last four, they've hit 19, 23, 19, 22 without the gravity of Giannis, and 18 the last game Giannis played. So they don't need Jay Crowder's threes.
Right, because of Brooke, because of Drew, because of Allen.
They've got enough. They've got so many. And they've already added recently an old man in Joe Ingles to the rotation, which is good, which is great.
Yep.
He looks great. He has thrown the ball up to Giannis, but they need more athleticism rather than another oldie. So why get rid of Pat? Even Jordan Nwora can get hot, and there's some athleticism there. It's you know, still more of a long-term deal with Jordan Nwora, but it doesn't really make sense to me. I don't get it. They want somebody to get downhill, and you're going to take away Grayson Allen's minutes. I mean, I just don't get it. It doesn't really doesn't move the needle.
Well, we're not done with Jay Crowder because Bobby Marks is throwing out a hypothetical three-team deal. Oh my God, Jerome, do we have the graphic for this? I'm not even sure. Yes, we do. All right.
We're going vert.
Bobby Marks.
We're going vert.
Says in this hypothetical three-team deal, it's with the Spurs, the Suns, and the Knicks. The Spurs would receive Dario Saric, Evan Fournier, and that contract, a 2023 first-round pick by way of Washington, and a 2024 first-round pick from Phoenix. Phoenix would receive Jakob Poeltl and Cam Reddish, and the Knicks would receive Jay Crowder and Josh Okogie. I don't think this is that bad, especially it gets difficult when you're doing a three-team deal, but what was your take on this one, TK?
Oh, I think Bobby's chucking garlic on this one because this is a wild trade. The Spurs would do this, getting two first-rounders for Poeltl.
Yeah.
Everybody else doesn't make sense at all to me.
Okay, go on. Why? For the Suns and the Knicks.
I don't think the Knicks should be trading a spare first-rounder for Jay Crowder. That doesn't seem like a wise move to me. I suppose they would be paying to get off Evan Fournier's contract is the big thing, but Crowder is not the missing piece for them. Phoenix trading a first rounder for an expiring center and a non-bucket getter, that doesn't make sense to me. James Jones, not a big draft guy, so they can trade their picks if they want to, but it only makes sense to trade for a guy like Poeltl if they're going to move Ayton.
Mm-hmm.
Because Poeltl, his contract expires at the end of the season. So it's either a rental or you're going to have to pay him, and then suddenly you're paying $50 million for your center spot.
Right.
Doesn't make sense.
It would have to include this hypothetical, I guess, moving off of Ayton. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you're right. Otherwise,
okay. Yeah, it doesn't. So I don't know. This one just doesn't make sense to me. I don't know. I wouldn't trade a first-round pick for Poeltl or for Reddish, so getting both of them, I guess it's half each. Maybe that makes more sense. But I don't know. This one's a chuck and garlic here.
Okay.
Yeah, I agree. A-plus for the Spurs. If they get two first-round picks for Jakob Poeltl, sure. But I agree. Phoenix needs points. They need to score. And so Jakob's not that type of guy. And they've got a bunch of guys coming back eventually. Cam Johnson would be in there if you think that Jakob Poeltl could play with DeAndre Ayton. I guess there's that possibility that they think that, sure, but he'd be taking away minutes from Cam Johnson, who gets points. And so it doesn't really make sense, even if Phoenix hates draft picks. And same for the Knicks. I think it makes a little more sense for the Knicks just to have a veteran guy who fires threes. A first-round pick is what everyone's asking for now, so you're asking for a first-round pick for Jay Crowder, but that price would come down. So if the Knicks could get him for something else, and I think Bobby is taking into account here that the Knicks have a ton of first round picks this year. Yep. So they'd throw one out to have Jay Crowder on the roster. It's not a terrible idea, but I think the price can come down.
Okay. Let's switch it up here. Let's go to a Hornets Warriors trade from Bobby. The Hornets receive James Wiseman. Remember him?
I don't remember that
and
name.
Moses Moody. Okay, so some young guys from the Warriors there in exchange for some help, you know, to go for it again. PJ Washington, the Chevy Trax of the NBA, Jalen McDaniels, and the Plum Dog himself, Mason Plumlee. Let's start with you on this one, Tass.
Warriors are giving up too much for potential Washington and Plumlee reinforcements in the playoffs. I think that's too much. Two prospects to have Mason Plumlee come in and back up Kevon Looney and just grab some boards at times. That price is way too high. I think you can find a backup center for something less than that. I mean, you're giving up Moses Moody, who you think could be a long-term player for their team as a 3-and-D type guy, and James Wiseman, whose everybody's stock is ridiculously low on. But that's what you're paying for Mason Plumlee and PJ Washington when you have – I know Jermichael Green hasn't really worked out. You've got a cheap Anthony Lamb. They're just paying way too much. I don't really get it. I mean, you want Jalen McDaniels? You already have Moses Moody. I don't get it. It's way too high a price. But if Charlotte can get this for a 3-for-2 for their prospects, sure, you do it. That'd be a home run, I think, for Charlotte. But I don't see the Warriors doing this.
Okay. What do you think, TK?
I think that this is a good trade. This is a B to me. I don't love giving up Moody either, but it's like calico cut pants. You got to give.
You got to give.
You got to give if you want to get something back. The young guys haven't performed for the Warriors this year. The veterans were instrumental to the title last season. Nemanja Bjelica, Otto Porter, Gary Payton. I mean, the players that the Warriors would be getting back, PJ Washington, Jalen McDaniels, and Mason Plumlee, aren't like huge names. But if you say stretch big, long wing, large body, those are all helpful types off the bench. And more importantly, it saves your starting lineup minutes for the rest of the regular season. The Warriors starting lineup is awesome. They're just going to need a couple of guys who can sop up minutes come playoff time. They're already up to sixth right now. I'm out on Wiseman personally, so I don't really think the Warriors are giving up much here. And if Moody was playing well this season, if he was really in the rotation, they wouldn't be looking to upgrade. But I think the Warriors have a chance to win the title. As we know, Draymond is basically saying this is the last dance. The writing's on the wall. I might be gone next year. The Warriors need to do everything they can to try and win as many titles while Steph Curry's still in his prime. So I think that, yeah, it's a bummer to give up on Moody so quickly, but you're giving up something to increase your title chances just a little bit, and I think it would be worth it for the Warriors.
All right, final one, guys. Lakers and Magic. We had to throw a Lakers trade in, right? Lakers received Terrence Ross. Yes, we finally trade him from the Orlando Magic. In exchange, it's not a whole lot. Patrick Beverley, who in theory could just be even waived, and then he could go sign again with the Wolves, and a 2023 second-round pick. Do you even have an opinion on this trade?
I didn't even know this is one we were talking about.
Oh, yeah. This just feels like a real NBA trade that we could see. That's why I wanted to include it.
The Lakers would do it in a heartbeat.
The Lakers would do that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Good for them. Terrence Ross on a team with some aspirations, that'd be nice for him. You know, if the Spurs can get two first rounders for a former Raptor in Jakob Poeltl, the Magic can hope for one first round pick for Terrence Ross, I guess.
So that's, that would have happened
the last 2 years if that's possible, I think, at this point.
Yeah, probably not, but you know, we're working Jakob for two, try for one. But a second round pick, yeah, of course the Lakers would make this deal.
Mm-hmm. Trey?
Well,
send it in.
yeah. Call it in. Call it in, and then we can talk about who's picking up Patrick Beverley on the buyout market.
Yeah, right.
Be the hottest buyout market guy in the game.
Oh, there you go. All right. There's five trades from Bobby Marks. Grade him away. If you're listening to the podcast, tweet your thoughts in to @NoDunksInc or let us know here in the stream team or the YouTube comments. If you enjoyed that segment, grade that trade. Bobby's got 25 other trades. I could pick some more for tomorrow, for crying out loud, on the Drop podcast.
Run it back.
You tell us. But we're going to take our final break when we come back. Pick 'em results. And a very lengthy tweet of the night exchange. Don't go anywhere.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep. You heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
All right, last night's game was the Hawks-Mavs in our pick'em. Dallas was the favorites by 3.5, so they had to win by 4 or more. They couldn't even win. Atlanta. W. Oh, the stink of me rubbing off on Trey Kirby, who was hot, hot, hot. But Tass got it done. You improved to 6-6, so 500 there. Basically just like the Hawks, right? And I'm 3-9. Trey's 9-3. What's tonight's game?
Finals rematch. Ooh. Warriors going to visit the Boston Celtics. Celtics are favored by 6.5 points.
Too many points, I say.
Yeah, that's why points. You're taking.
That's a chunky. That's a chunker.
They're going to lose by 80.
Well, they did play earlier in the season. Forgot that they did play. The Warriors took care of business in Golden State.
They did they?
Yep.
No, they're good at home.
So, yeah, Trey and I think that the Celtics will win by 7 or more. Skeets, you got the Warriors to lose or win.
Sure. Which has happened a lot in our pick'ems. Mm-hmm. You know, when someone, whoever takes that dog, thinking you just got to cover.
Yeah,
they just
right.
end up winning. That happens a lot. Let's get to Tweet of the Night.
Tweet of the Night. Wow.
Twitter.
Oh, yeah. The Tweet of the Night, it actually started a day prior. And it started with Stan Van Gundy. @RealStanVG. On Wednesday, tweeted, 90s NBA teams had just a trainer and a strength coach. They practiced more often and harder and played more back-to-backs. Teams now have huge medical and performance staffs and value rest over practice. Yet injuries and games missed are way up. Something's not working. Just a fire tweet there from Stan Van. Well, Kevin Durant saw it, and he said, Stan's spitting. He's agreeing with him. That's nice of KD. Well, Stan wrote back, no, I'm not criticizing players. I'm saying that we are getting something wrong in how we prepare and train players. We can't do anything about injuries like yours, talking to KD. He fell on your leg. But all of these groin and hamstring injuries, etc., shouldn't be happening as much as they are. So KD had to respond, Stan, I agree with you. And then threw out an LOL. And then a lot of people, including East River Heron, jumped in to tell Stan, hey, Stan, spitting means you're speaking facts. To which Stan replied, had no idea. So, you know, sometimes it's very easy when it comes to the Tweet of the Night. You don't need to overthink it, because this one had everybody writing blog posts and sharing it and chiming in and laughing. You know, Stan learned something. And I don't think we have the time right now. We could get into Stan's actual first tweet and whether you agree or disagree with that. But KD did. And then Stan was still upset because he thought he didn't, because he didn't know what, you know,
spitting
was all about. Which, I mean, I guess an older man in Stan Van Gundy, spitting, it's like, that's gross. I spit on that. I don't like that. That's what he's thinking.
Yeah. I feel like Jeff Van Gundy knew what spitting meant, though.
Yeah.
He would know. He's more up to date on his slang. I tend to think.
Wow.
But yeah, this is just nice. It's just good, man. I love to see a funny interaction.
Yeah. Stan
people agreeing out there.
He made a mistake, though. Like, he would just assume that spitting is negative. Why wouldn't he Google it? Like, what is spitting?
Like, look up the Urban Dictionary.
Stan spitting.
Yeah, he just assumes. Stan spitting facts. Nah.
Well, I think he's assuming.
He's a Twitter guy. People come at him. He's got strong takes. Not only on basketball, but on the political world. So people come at him. And so he's just assuming. No one's friendly on Twitter. Kevin Durant's just coming at me and trying to slap me up.
Well, yeah. And also to add to that, he's, you know, this is a, controversial, I don't know, but this is a bit of a take here from Stan Van, making, again, a bit of a valid point. And then he's saying this, and then a player is responding. So I think he's immediately thinking, well, the player, especially the guy who's dealt with injuries, who's actually injured right now, is going to come back in defense of the players. But
larger.
Katie swerved, and he's actually agreeing with him.
Gotcha. Yeah,
sure.
Right? And, you know, maybe Katie should have put Stan spitting facts. Should have added facts at the end.
No. The youth doesn't need to change the way they talk for the oldies.
Okay.
Let them live, man. Also, well, Kevin Durant's not there. That young.
Youth, yeah.
Yeah, like spitting. 34-year-old. Spitting ain't a new one, Stan.
How old's Stan Van Gundy?
63.
Is he?
Yes.
And he is younger than Jeffrey?
Or older? I think he is younger than Jeffrey.
Yeah? I'm looking it up. Jeff Van Gundy's age is 61. Jeff's younger.
Jeff's younger?
Than Stan the Man. So that makes sense. He would have known what spitting is.
He's spitting. Yep. Are you spitting right now?
Wow, who looks older or younger? I feel like Stan Van looks younger than Jeff Van Gundy to me. I don't know why.
Really, this the is hair. A coin
that's
flip.
Hair, that's a coin flip?
Yeah, it could be either.
Oh, you're flipping?
You're flipping spit?
You're saying this is not a Leo Routon's Jack Armstrong situation here. As surprising as that one is, you're thinking Leo is the younger between the two, but Jack actually is. You think this one's a wash? Almost basically they could be twins.
It feels like Jeff's been around longer. So you,
definitely. That's so, why.
Jeff's been around longer. He's been a coach.
Head
he was
coach
a coach
first.
Longer?
He was coaching mid-90s. Was
coaching.
I don't think Stan got his first job until much later.
The Miami Heat later on.
04 is when Stan Van Gundy became a head coach for the first time. 2003-2004.
Wade's rookie year. So, that's why you assume Jeff is older, but
Stan
he's
is.
Not.
Who do you think? Stan could kick his ass in game of 101, though. Do you believe that? We've seen Stan's handles. Can't remember seeing a lot of clips of Jeff Van Gundy with the ball.
Jeff can
play.
Scrappy. Jeff can play.
It'd be a heck of a game,
They always show that old ancient black and white photo of him
being
a PG.
Oh, yeah.
Point guard at some high school, right? Yeah. I think it was a high school. He can play.
Who you got in a game of 101?
What you got?
That's the real question. Stan Van Gundy or Jeff Van Gundy? That should be an all-star weekend
event. Wow,
that sounds like an all-star weekend event,
awesome.
Actually.
People would tune in to see that.
That was a Hall of Fame photo. Can you click back on your browser there?
Yeah, you
that
like this one?
Oh, my God. That's an incredible.
Let me get it so that JD can see it here. I'm sure he's going to want to cast this.
Okay.
This is pretty important.
Wow.
So just let me tap dance a little so we can. Okay, we're casting. We're casting, baby.
All right. Good work.
Well, let's see it.
Yeah, we got Nazareth or Nazarene. Isn't that?
Nazareth, yeah, I think so.
That's where Jeff Van Gundy played, and he's guarding a guy from Fisher. The Fisher player. That's a good look. That's
wow,
a good look from this guy.
That's good job, guys. Way to get that up for everybody here on YouTube.
Yep.
These are good reps for Ash. Good
Man,
reps.
It's weird to see Jeff Van Gundy with hair.
He's just been bald forever.
Exactly. That's why you think he's older.
When did he go bald? Was he like a 22-year-old
After they took
guy?
His picture.
Took it off.
Just fell right up.
I did see this photo cropped without the hands, so it was a little bit better without the hands. So you can just imagine where they see like
that.
Let's see that one. We got time.
Okay. This is it. Just a slightly closer version of the picture.
This can't be possibly worth it. All right. Okay, it is. You're right.
See? Yeah, the hands up.
No, it's better. Just the facial reactions from both these guys.
Both got caught doing something.
Yeah. Who's that Fisher guy look like? Like, he's got like a D'Antoni meets Phil Jackson vibe
to me. Yeah.
If you melded them together.
He's got Cody from Survivor. I hate to bring up Cody from Survivor again, but he looks like could be his dad.
Who, the Fisher guy?
The Fisher guy.
Really?
No.
That's a heavy brow. Well sculpted brow.
It looks like you could rip off all three, like two eyebrows and his mustache. They just look like fake felt.
It could be, man.
All right. Great photo there of Jeff Van Gundy.
You want me to get like an even closer one?
Well, okay, hold on. Could you give me the Stan Van Gundy sitting on a bike badass pose while we're showing
Okay,
Van Gundy photos?
Sure. Why not?
I mean, we'll end with that.
How close do you want it cropped?
No, I sort of need the whole setting, you know?
Oh,
it feels like there's people behind them, and
there's
like
so
the
many.
Sun is setting a little.
Yeah,
bit.
Yeah, I got you.
So tough, sorry. Man. Looks badass, this one.
Okay.
Here we go.
Stop casting. I got to cast this tab. Got to cast that tab. Here we go. Here we go.
Oh yeah, that's it.
There we go.
Stan Van Gundy rolling up to his pickup game against his brother. Let's fucking go, Jeff. What an awesome photo, man.
That is an awesome photo.
I mean, if they ever have like just straight up best photos in NBA history, like in the Hall of Fame, put that one. That's first ballot to me.
Top 75 photos of all time.
All right.
Was it time to one like, of them. Like, hey, we're going out at sunset to take photos of Stan?
I don't know. It's magical.
It is.
Any other requests?
No, let's call it there. You got to end with that perfect one.
Bill Van Gundy.
Guys, get your Salt Lake City tickets February 17th, which is a Friday night, the Urban Lounge. Hit that link in the description of the show and come join us. And if you want to get a VIP ticket, you can do that as well. Costs a little bit more, but you got the meet and greet before the show, preferred seating, all that jazz. Ha!
I get it.
Roy Dunn, eat your heart out. Okay, we will see you tomorrow for the Drop Podcast live at 10 a.m. Eastern. Until then, Clipper Bros!
You heard it here first. Have a great time. Turn up. Love you guys. Awesome.
Thanks for joining us. And remember, Magic Johnson's wife's name is Cookie.
Brace the day, people.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.